Chaver, it's such an incredible schus to be together. Always a schus to be together, our Shabbos Kodesh, preparing for Shabbos. To have so many tzaddikim in the bayis. All the tzaddikim in the bayis, but specifically those that just came back from Eretz Yisrael, Avir Da'ara, Libi B'Mizrach, which we'll talk about in a few moments in a very real way, but it's a schus to have everybody here. Those who just got back, it should be a very, very short say. So we should all be back. B'karav Yemeinu.
Amen.
So before I begin, all the Torah tonight, all the Chizuk tonight, all the Zoras tonight is being sponsored. First of all, by very special people, Mamish Feel Like Family. Yael and Ben Englander. All the children, such special Talmidim. And the Zoricha, they're in Eretz Yisrael right now. They're there, Baruch Hashem. They're there because they're Bnei Eretz Yisrael. If you know them for a minute, that's even though they have a house here, they might spend more days here. But for now, but they're people who live with that feeling that their home is Eretz Yisrael, and they have the schus that their daughter Kira and Shlomo live in Eretz Yisrael, and they were zoicha to have a granddaughter in Eretz Yisrael about 2 weeks ago, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the first grandchild born in Eretz Yisrael, Adi Chana. I'm sponsoring tonight in honor of her birth, and should be Bez Hashem a schus for her. L'gadlu, l'toyra, l'chupel, matzim toivim. And for the whole mishpacha, to only have simcha and bracha. Bez Hashem is barach.
Amen.
It's also all the Torah tonight being sponsored anonymously by a Talmud and his wife, whom Mamish are also like family to me in the deepest of ways. They know that. And for a continued refuah of my Eishes Chayel, of the Rebbetzin, Shein Torifka Basleya, Baruch Hashem, as you know, the surgery went beautifully, and we're already, today was 4 weeks from the surgery, but unfortunately over the last week or so, a little bit longer, there's been a lot of pain, a lot of discomfort in a very serious way. Baruch Hashem, the heart, everything's going well, but as far as just the recovery and the ribs, and we're actually going tomorrow morning to the surgeon to meet and to see and to do some x-rays and see if there's any issues we have to take care of. So everyone could have Shein Torifka Basleya and your tefillas as you've been. And Meit Hashem, then also all the Torah tonight should be a schus of continued refuos and yeshuos from Mahalik Rebbetzin and Shein Torifka Basleya, Bez Hashem is Baruch.
Amen.
And always the Torah is sponsored anonymously, Lila Nishmas, Eliezer, Ben Yisrael. Bez Ben Yisrael should continue to be a big male choicher, Zach, for your entire family, Bez Hashem is Baruch. So we're going to be chanting together with the Gula Shlema, Mashiach the Kenu, and here will be Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So, as I'm saying, that the Torah tonight is the honor of the birth of Yael and Ben Englander's granddaughter. I said how they're people who live here, but their heart is there, and they mamish, they feel that they live in Eretz Yisrael. It's such a special week to have all the chever back from Eretz Yisrael. But more than that, this week's parsha. You know, you go through Torah. You go through Torah. The Torah has many moments that are high points, and many moments that are low points in the history of Klal Yisrael. You talk about high points such as Akedas Yitzchak. Imagine that moment of devotion to Hashem, who we have schusim until today. And a part of Karbonos is to say Akedas Yitzchak. Throughout Yom Noroim, we daven in Zchus of Akedas Yitzchak. What that was, that tremendous dedication to the Rabbono Shalom, the year as Hashem on the highest of levels. An incredible moment. When Yaakov defeated Sar Shal Esav, imagine fighting with an angel, whatever that exactly means, and defeating him. Yosef HaTzadik, in that moment where he withstood the test of Eishes Potiphar. It gives us chizik, l'dayre dayres, even whatever we're going through, and even in this dar where the nisyonos, the challenges are so great, more so than any generation in all of history, but we had a Yosef HaTzadik, and that, his chemical makeup is in each and every one of us. There's a whole big organization now, Vayimayin. Vayimayin. What is Vayimayin? That's Vayimayin. That was Yosef HaTzadik, who was able to refuse, and we have that in us. Big moments in the Torah. But then we also have difficult moments. We have Chet Eitz Hadas for at the very beginning. threw us out through Adam, and all of us, our koilel, our neshama comes from Adam, threw us out of Gan Eden. The Chayta Egel. Imagine what Chayta Egel was. Right after the Geula of the, and right after Kriyas Yamsuf, and right after Hashem reveals Himself to us, and we have a Chayta Egel, as we're waiting moments before Moshe Rabbeinu comes down with the Luchos. We have big tzaddikim, Ruvain, whatever went on exactly there, so many mefarshim, the switching of the beds. And then you have Chayt Meraglim. Chayt Meraglim, this week's parasha. And in some ways, it's more than the rest what we're suffering from until today. In some ways, we have to understand Chayt Meraglim maybe more than any of the other parashios in the Torah for our dar. The Dari Daris. Why is that? Because it's a Gemara in Sota. It's a Gemara in Sota. Happens to be a Medrash as well. Rashi brings it down in Tehillim. And the words on this week's parasha, Batisa, Kol Eda, V'Idnu, Es Kolam, V'Yivku. That when the Meraglim came back, and they told over what they told over, the entire congregation, they lifted their voices, and then they cried. They took these words to heart, and they cried. And here the Gemara in Sota Dalmat Lama Heim and Al tells us, Amar Abba, Amar Yoichanan, Osa Yom, it's a discussion whether it's Erev Tisha B'Av or actually Tisha B'Av, different kirsas. Hayam HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Heim Bachu, B'chiyah Shachinam. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you're crying tears of naught. Very famous words, you all know this, right? You're crying tears of naught. You're crying for no reason. Kadosh Baruch Hu was so hurt. Imagine HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Eibishter, our Tata in Hemel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu just went and he took us out of Mitzrayim and he's giving us the Mon and giving us Ber Miriam and giving us everything and he wants to, and he's giving us Torah. And what's the culmination of all of these journeys? It's ultimately to enter Eretz Yisrael, to enter our homeland, and he wants to give it to us. So let's go conquer it. Clearly, if he tells us to do that, he's going to be by our side, and what do? Meraglim, Chayt Meraglim. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, "You're Bachu B'chiyah Shochinam, V'ani Ekbal Em B'chiyah L'Doros." I'm going to make permanent from this day B'chiyah L'Doros. That day was Tisha B'Av, the first occurrence in the list in Tainus of what happened on Tisha B'Av. So somehow this relates to Tisha B'Av, and Tisha B'Av is what we are suffering from until today. This week we're going to be. Mavarchan Chodesh Tammuz, Tammuz and Av starts Bein HaMitzarim in 3 weeks. Hopefully it won't be this year. It'll be Nepach Miyagun L'Simcha. But what we're also, whatever we suffer from on some level, when we suffer with those who are sick and need refuahs, those who are suffering in Shidduch, and those who are suffering in Parnassus, those who are suffering in mental health, all of that is connected to Chorban Beis HaMikdash. On some level. And therefore all of this is connected to Chayt Meraglim. That's what the Medrash is telling us. Whatever is going wrong in the world today, and there's so much, whatever is going wrong in the world today, the world we live in, the Olam Deshekra, it's a sick, crazy world that we live in. Mamash, a crazy world, we can't imagine the world that we live in today. You tell our grandparents 20, 30 years ago, this is what's going to be the world today, this is what's going to be discussed, this is what people are going to be talking about. They wouldn't believe it in America. In America. What goes on, Olam Deshekra in every way, a world of complete sheker, a world of taiva on the highest level, a world of gaiva, right? The gaiva, the haughtiness of everyone could be whatever they want, whenever they want. No one's meshubit to anything. It's a very scary world. The world of so much temptation on your fingertips 24/7, the world we live in. It's all chayt meraglim on some level, because that led to chayt of Tisha B'Av, that led to destruction. That's what the Medrash is saying. On some level. And each and every one of us, we're about to enter into the summer. We spoke about this already last week, but the summer often is a difficult time for many. During the year, the rest of the year, we have a little, many of us, much more structure. Many of us are in yeshiva. And therefore we have learning that's structured. We have chavrusas that are structured. We have our day that's structured. The summer is a lot more free. The summer is a lot less structured. The summer carries with it a lot of temptations in different ways. So it's an incredible thing. We always say we have to live with the parsha that this Parsha Shlach and the Chet Meraglim, which led to such destruction, is right now at the beginning of the summer, which often for some is such destruction. There are people that all year long grow and grow and grow, and comes the summer and fall. We don't want that to be each and every one of us. We want to grow. We want to use the summer. So I think if we analyze tonight different aspects of what led to Chet Meraglim, that led to Tisha B'Av. So what led to it, if we could grab on to the opposite of that, maybe, if we could grab on to, or those that didn't fall, those are the sodos, those are the foundations that will allow us to be successful in every scenario, in every situation, in every challenge, whatever Hashem brings our way. So let's learn Chavr. First and foremost, before anything else, without getting into deep tiras, Chet HaMeraglim had to be on some level. On some level, Chet HaMeraglim, I'm sorry, was a lacking, come, there's plenty over here. Here it is. On some level, a lacking of appreciation and love for Eretz Yisrael. It's that simple. We're going to say it as it is. On some level, there was a lacking of appreciation, love, and desire to be and live in Eretz Yisrael. There was something to it. Yes, there was much more, and there's more we have to talk about and learn about, but ultimately, on some level, was that. And therefore, if that led to ultimately Tisha B'Av and destruction of Beis HaMikdash and all that we're suffering from till today, each and every one of us needs to revitalize our love of Eretz Yisrael. And many of you just were there for the entire year, and you come back and you're shell-shocked. But the question is why we don't all live in Eretz Yisrael, why we don't all yearn to live in Eretz Yisrael, why we don't all want to be in Eretz Yisrael as often as we can. I said this over a few weeks ago in a shiur, but recently, whatever it was, a while ago at some point, I was at a simcha, and I was talking to an old friend of mine, an individual, and he told me, this individual who happens to be Baruch Hashem, he's a well-off individual, he's a wonderful guy, he's a Ben Torah, and he told me he hasn't been in Eretz Yisrael since before COVID began. How could a Yid say such a thing? How? How could a Yid live in such a way? Okay, if we have, and that's a cheshbon one has to make, and I don't mean you, not yet you, you don't have that choice to make yet, but soon you will, you're getting to that point. If a Yid has made cheshbonos, and it's something you have to constantly think about, and there are reasons, definitely, that it's a good cheshbon, a good calculation, that I'm supposed to live outside Eretz Yisrael, for whatever reason that it is, I'm not going to get into, but there are good reasons to live outside Eretz Yisrael, whatever that needs to be, based on family, based on parnasa, based on for your learning, whatever it is, if you have a good reason, and you believe that wholeheartedly, and you've spoken to Bala Eitz that believe that, and you believe that, it's fine. But that you shouldn't then every day of your life think about Eretz Yisrael and want to be in Eretz Yisrael and hope to one day live in Eretz Yisrael and at least, at the very least, visit as often as you can. I didn't ask this guy. I didn't want to ask because I'd cry too much. How many different vacations he's gone on in those last 3.5 years to different places. How have you not gone to Eretz Yisrael? How could it be? I'm mamish. I was talking to my wife, who, Baruch Hashem, obviously I wouldn't leave her side right now. I wouldn't leave her side right now, but I was crying her today that I haven't been. My daughter-in-law was back for 2 days from Eretz Yisrael. She had her best friend's chasana last night. She came in literally, she got in Tuesday afternoon, the chasana was last night, and she left this afternoon. 2 days. And on one hand, it was sad. It was so special to spend a few moments with her. My wife's like, I wish you would have stayed back a little bit longer and spend more time. And then, of course, get back to Eretz Yisrael as soon as you can. I mean, it happens with your husband. My son is there too. I hope that's also nice. But Lemaisa, at the beginning of this year, Baruch Hashem, I was zoicha to be every 7 weeks in Eretz Yisrael. And then since January, the way there's the calendar and different achrayas, I haven't been there since January. I'm dying. I said to my wife, I want you to know, I hope the moment that I feel you're at a good place, like I'm going for Shabbos, like I can't, like, because she was telling my daughter-in-law, oh, wait, we're not, she was leaving today, and she's like, we're not, you know, she's like, you'll see Aryeh, you'll see Tati, whatever she's calling, I don't know what she said, but Lemaisa in, you know, Yom Kippur, I'm like, no, I can't wait till Yom Kippur. Like, you, I said, I looked at Shandy, like, I didn't want to bring this up because you're recovering, so I didn't bring it up, but like, the moment we feel you're good, like, have a nice Shabbos, just with, you know, I'm out of here. Like, I need to go. My mom is dying. I need to go. We need to be in our, we need to feel that. You have to understand that's where we're supposed to be. We all know, every one of us knows we have different clarity when we're there. We know who we're supposed to be. We feel who we're supposed to be. We're our best selves. Because we're home. We're in the makom where we're supposed to be. The Shechina is there in a different way. We feel it. Of course you can find Hashem anywhere. And of course there's Torah anywhere. There's tefillah everywhere. But you have to search a lot more. It's not as easy. So we need to go as often as we can. And we need to have Libi ben Ezrach. And the Meraglim suffered in that way and ended up in a very bad place. Just say it as it is. Now it's an amazing thing. If you read through the parasha, you have the parasha of the Meraglim. And we have the decree, the gzeira, that the Dor Meraglim completely are going to be wiped out, besides for Kalev and Yoshua. And then right after that, read the parasha of Yirmiyahu said already, right after that talks about the Nesachim, and talks about Challah, and talks about basic mitzvos that are tluyos ba'aretz. Mitzvos that are dependent on being in Eretz Yisrael. And it's a little bit strange. Right after telling us we're not going to enter Eretz Yisrael, is talking about mitzvos tluyos ba'aretz. Like, think about it. The Rabbeinu Shalom, Rabbeinu Shalom just told us, based on our chet, you're not entering Eretz Yisrael. Is Rabbeinu Shalom really going to add insult to injury in such a way? Like, mamash is like pouring salt on the wound. Right? Right afterwards, that's what we have, that's what we're learning about. It's like, you're not going to Eretz Yisrael, let me tell you what's in Eretz Yisrael. You know, like, really? A little bit strange. So I saw an amazing Torah from the Hilgah Zera Kaidish. Hilgah Naftali Rapshitzer, Schosu Yogin Leno. Listen to what he says. He says, you know, eventually the Yidden got it. Eventually, it took some time, but eventually the Yidden realized they messed up. And they said those words. In Perek Yudal, Pasuk Mem, Vayashkimu Baboker, they got up in the morning, Vayalu El Rosh Ha'ar Lemar, Hinenu Va'alinu El HaMakom Asher Amar Hashem, they went up to the mountain, they went where Hashem was, where Hashem was speaking from, and they said, Kichatanu! They said the words, Kichatanu, we sinned. It was late, it took a while to see, sometimes it takes us a while to admit our wrongdoing, sometimes it takes us time. It's a flaw in a lot of us, something I work on a lot, to really, you know, we like to believe we do what's right, and you have to really look inside yourself internally and know what you're doing wrong and be able to admit that. When you hurt someone's feelings, to be able to do something wrong to someone, to admit and to apologize right away. It shouldn't take, but sometimes it takes a while, and it took the Yidden a while, but they eventually said it. Ki chatanu, we sinned. We sinned. So they admitted it. They said they sinned. And they wanted to go into Eretz Yisrael. They wanted to go in. At that point. So Hilda Zerakhoyish says, when they wanted to go into Eretz Yisrael, what, they wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael because of all the gashmis in Eretz Yisrael, the delicious fruits of Eretz Yisrael. They clearly, they really, this was at a point, they were the Dardea. These were people that initially were big people. They were Zoycha to see the Eibishter. Yes, they fell, but when they're doing tshuva, they're back to that level. And clearly he says they wanted to go in and to keep the mitzvahs tliyos baretz. They wanted to go in to accomplish all that one could accomplish in Eretz Yisrael in ways that we can't accomplish in Chutz La'aretz. And what does the Gemara in Brachos tell us? The Gemara in Brachos tells us, this is this incredible Torah, where in Brachos, the Avav Manala says, Chashuv Adam Lasos Mitzvah V'nenas. The person wants to do a mitzvah. He thinks about doing the mitzvah, V'nenas. And something happens, an accident happens, and he can't do the mitzvah. I wanted to, but something happens and I couldn't. I had a morning and I wanted to go to Minyan, and I was supposed to go to Minyan, but Lo Aleinu had somebody that was very sick and needed to go to the hospital, and of course that I had to be the one to take them, and I took them to the hospital, and I had to daven afterwards. I wanted Chashuv. I'm in Camp Hazard this summer, and I want to go to Minyan in the morning, but I have a camper who needs me, and needs my attention, needs me to take care of the camper, so I can't go to Minyan. It's Nenas, it's a complete accident. It's out of my realm of possibility. If I go to Minyan, I'm wrong. If I go to Minyan, I'm wrong. Nenas. There were times over this past month with my wife and being there by her side when she was in the hospital and beyond that I've missed a few Minyanim. Not because I wanted to miss Minyan or I was lazy to miss Minyan, because it would have been wrong of me to go to Minyan. Because as a husband, I have to be by my wife's side in certain circumstances, and Hashem knows you're not supposed to go to Minyan. But those times, Chashuv Adam Lasos Mitzvah, I wanted to do it. So the Gemara says, if you want to, and it's complete ones, v'lo asa, man lo lo v'akasav ki lasa. The Torah tells you, it's as if you did it. It's as if you did it. So comes the Zera Kaidish and says, these Yidden, they said chatanu, we feel better, we want to go in Eretz Yisrael, we want to accomplish all the mitzvahs of Eretz Yisrael. So right after that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches them mitzvahs to leave Baruch. L'maisa, they couldn't go into Eretz Yisrael based on what they did. L'maisa, they couldn't go in. Whatever the cheshbonos of the Eretz were, they couldn't go in. But they wanted to so badly. Hashem's teaching them the mitzvahs to show them, not to show them what you're missing out on, to show them because of your desire to do it, this is what you've just accomplished. That's it's kum bakeret. There are questions. It's brought down the Torah to show us this is what you've just done. It's kielu you did the mitzvah challah. It's kielu you did the mitzvah of nisachim. It's kielu you did the mitzvah to tlius parts because you want to so badly. Lamais you can't, but you want to. So to each and every one of us, we have to want to be in Eretz Yisrael. We can't be there. We have to want to. We have to desire it. Not like the Meraglim at first. We have to want to, and that alone connects me. The Kodesh Kedoshim connects me to the Kaisel, connects me to Mar Sachpela, connects me to my yeshiva that I learned in and I became so much from. It connects me because I want to be there. I can't be there now for whatever cheshbon I have, but I want to be there. Don't stop wanting it. Don't stop wanting it. I remember years ago, I'm sure some of you might have shared the story. It was one of the trips to Eretz Yisrael in January. Been zoicha to be outside of the COVID years every single January the past, I don't know, 25 years, 30 years, I don't know, whatever, every January. Someone asked me this week, like, when do you go, someone asked me, when do you go that trip to Eretz Yisrael? Because I want to be there. I'm like, what do you mean that trip? Which one? You know, it's like the one that you give a shiur. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, which one? There's a few, you know. He was talking about the January trip. And so whenever I'm in Eretz Yisrael, one of my highlights being in Eretz Yisrael, there's so many highlights, every step I take is a highlight. Miss it so much. Gotta get back. Karov Bez Hashem. But one of the highlights as a Kayin is to Dochen in Eretz Yisrael. No? Menachemer. Zchus Berchas Kohanim. You know, it is to be able to give over Berachas Kohanim. But it's chus. No davar. It's chus. So, L'maisa, here in Chutzlars, we don't dochen every day. Okay, once in a while, I'll go down with Svardim, so to, you know. Some tzaddikim, when they come to America, will only down with Svardim, so they don't miss Berachas Kohanim. When Varadlev Steinman came to America years ago, every day, davened with Svardim only. He wouldn't miss Birchas Kohanim every day. Anyway, so this particular year I'm there, and I mamish, it was a very special trip, and I came back, and I was so sad coming back, but obviously came with my family. And the day I got back, come, Bench, come away, or one of you, Hillel, Moshe Eliezer, come. So the day I got back, we were going that year to a trip with the family to Miami. And we're staying by Bal Harbor over there in a house that we were renting. I don't know. It was before Airbnb. It was years ago. Maybe it was Airbnb. I don't remember. Whatever it was, a house over there. The first morning, so I get back. I remember I got back Sunday or whatever it was. And so that day, the same day, we flew to Miami. And Monday morning, I go to shul. And I go to the shul, right in Bal Harbor, the shul. And there's a lot. And I see there's an 8 o'clock minion. And I go to the minyan. I didn't realize, but I was going to a Sephardi minyan. I didn't know that they had a Sephardi minyan. It was run by Chabad, but they have a Sephardi minyan. And I go into the shul, and I see it's Sephardi, and mamish, I get the duchen. I get to do Berachas Kohanim. The first day back, straight from Eretz Yisrael, it was like, mamish, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, okay, he's giving me a kiss. He's like, you want it so badly? Ki lo asa. It's like you're there. I know you can't be there right now. You have to be with your family. You have to be with your talmidim. You have to do it. But ki lo asa, gave me that chizik. It's like, if we can't be there, you have to want to be there at least. I had that one other time. It was crazy. There was once, years ago, same thing, crazy. Kesh Baruch was so good. I remember, oh, this was hard. One time, I was supposed to go to Eretz Yisrael. It was Memorial Day weekend. And I was supposed to go to Eretz Yisrael Thursday afternoon. I was leaving Thursday, get in Friday morning, and stay Friday, Shabbos, Sunday, Monday, and come back. I was going where someone was taking me to take care of whatever it was. I don't want to get too many details. We were going. Okay, we didn't end up going, whatever it was. We didn't end up going. And it was crazy. That Thursday, it was a Thursday night. It's a Thursday. I sent out a text earlier, went before I was leaving, no shir tonight, which is rare because I'm going to be in Eretz Yisrael. And then I, a few hours later, saying, yes, you're tonight. I was mamish packed, ready to be picked up to go to the airport when this trip was canceled. It was like crazy. It was like, whatever it was, it had to be canceled. It was Min HaShemayim, it was all good. And I remember that Friday night, we made a minyan here, and my mamish was crying all Kabbal Shabbos, thinking that, like, if I'm davening in Cedars, then I would be at the Kaisel. Like, I was supposed to be, you know, it was like, fine. Shabbos morning, but there was one. There's always silver linings. There's everything the Abishter wants. So one of the things he must have wanted me to be at, Yidid Nafshi, my Hilga Talmud and Chaver at the time, but my Chaver Tov, Rabbi Avi Weber, made a bris milah that Shabbos morning. So remember, I told him, Thursday I was leaving, I'm so sorry, I'm going to miss the bris, and I can't be there. Yidid Nafshi, I love him so much, but he understood I'm going to be in Eretz Yisrael. So I never told him that I got cancelled. And I already, what happened was, this happened Thursday night. I already told my shiur Friday I'm not going to be there. So, try telling seniors the end of senior year, like, that you're not going to be there. And then tell them, oh, actually, we're having shiur. No shot. So, like, I didn't switch it on them. I'm like, okay, it is what it is. Let it be. Restorch will figure that one out. I'm not going to say, I mean, it's just not worth it, right? You can't go there. So then Shabbos morning, I walked to North Woodmere. I was in Artora over there. And I show up at the bris. And it was very beautiful. I had the schus to name the baby, and then because of that, it was very, very beautiful. But Lamaisa, or Torah, that he davened like a separate minion they made for the bris, but the main minion is the Sephardi minion. So in the middle of davening, I walked out, and I went into the Sephardi minion, and I went to Dochid. Went to the Berchus Kohanim. And I was supposed to be in Eretz Yisrael that morning. And the Abishur said again, Chashiv Lassus Mitzvah, you wanted to be there? You wanted to do Mitzvah Berchus Kohanim? I'll make you. You could do it here also, because I know you want it. And that's lesson number one, Chevra. Lesson number one of Chet Meraglim that could keep us in the most beautiful places, keep us Kodesh Kedoshim. And every one of you that came back this week, you might have to be here for now, but don't stop wanting to be there. Don't stop wanting to be in Eretz Yisrael. Don't stop loving Eretz Yisrael. Libi b'mizrach every moment. Be the Yid that thinks about Eretz Yisrael, that wants to be in Eretz Yisrael. That alone keeps us in the right place, keeps us with that same clarity. Ki'ilu asa, it keeps us like we're there. That's lesson number one. What's lesson number two from the Chet Meraglim? So there's a very famous pasuk that darshins. Very, very famous. The Meraglim, one of their big chatoim, was what they said in the following pasuk. In Perek Yigimel, pasuk Lama Gimel. When they're telling over the entire storyline and them being in Eretz Yisrael and everything that they saw, they say, "V'shamra inu es hanafilim b'nei anak min hanafilim." We saw these giants there. They saw the giants, right? We all know about the giants. We all know about the giants in Eretz Yisrael. Probably when we were in nursery school and kindergarten, we came home with pictures that we colored. So they might have been with the big fruits, and they might have been with the giants, right? And what do they say? Vanihi be'einenu kachagavim v'chein hayinu be'einehem. And they say this lashon, that we were both in their eyes and in our own eyes like grasshoppers. And all the mefarshim talk about this. All the mefarshim talk about this, that this was the Meraglim thinking so lowly of themselves. That it's not just that they, not only that we felt that we were like grasshoppers in their eyes, in our own eyes we were like grasshoppers. That we felt that way and we were in their eyes. How do we know what we were in their eyes? It's all about how lowly they felt. And they didn't feel their greatness. They didn't feel their godless. That was the whole chait on some level. You know, the Heilige Belz of Rebbe and the sort of Sheikh Chaim Yaakov Govich, Zichron Lebrach, says the same Yisod, and many tzaddikim say this. What was the Chit Meragim? Chit Meragim was, and these were tzaddikim, these were chashuvim, these were the Nesim, these were very holy Jews. But they were afraid. They were going. One of the ideas was they were going to go into Eretz Yisrael. They're going to have to live a physical life. They're going to start to have to work the land. They're going to have to live off the land. And not here. They're in the midbar. It's kulo kadosh. It's all holy. It's all ebishter. And they were afraid that they wouldn't live up to who they were until this point. The Zohar says they were afraid they wouldn't be leaders anymore. They wouldn't be so holy. They wouldn't be so kadosh. In the physical world, they wouldn't be so holy if they have a smartphone and if they have to have a job and have to be out in the world. Now it's very easy. They're in the oil shul Torah, they're in the yeshiva, they're in the nogashmis. There's no. They didn't believe in themselves. It's true, we have to try to best our ability to set up kedarim and to not fall prey to desires, but we have to believe in ourselves that we could be successful wherever we are. Wherever, they didn't believe in that. They didn't see themselves like that in their own eyes. They saw themselves as very small. They didn't realize their greatness. They didn't realize what they could accomplish. We have to realize how great we are. How chashuv we are. We have to believe in ourselves. That's the second lesson of Chait Meraglim. They didn't believe in themselves. They didn't believe they could go into Eretz Yisrael and be successful. They didn't believe they could be successful if they didn't have the mon and everything. They didn't believe if they don't have the shver that's supporting them 24/7 so they could live in Ramat Eshkol and sit and learn all day for the next 10 years. How else? How am I going to learn? I could learn. I remember one time someone, the young couple, you know, that it was close to said something to Shady like, you know, it's Monsieur Snefesh to learn over here. Monsieur Snefesh. Their parents and in-laws are supporting them fully, every way, 100% of the way, and they're sitting, it's very nice, you're learning, that's Messias Nefesh. Now you know what Messias Nefesh is? Messias Nefesh is supporting yourselves and being, and sacrificing with Torah. Messias Nefesh is waking up 5 o'clock in the morning so you can learn from 5 to 7, and then daven, and then go to the office, and then come home and spend a couple hours with your kids, and then go back to the base medrash for an hour. That's also Messias Nefesh. But they didn't think they could be successful. They could only be successful when they're being supported in a Ramadish goal. Then I could be successful. So they're afraid of what's going to be when I'm going to have to work and I'm going to have to earn a living and I'm going to have to be... They were afraid of such a life. They didn't believe it because they didn't understand how great they could be. We have to believe in ourselves. We could believe I could be a Baal Yer Shemayim in every situation. I could be a Baal. I could have Avos Yisrael in every situation. I could be successful in whatever camp I'm in whatever situation. I'm going to be that Ben Torah. I'm going to be the Baal Yer Shemayim. Yeah, I had the time away from any distraction so that I could build the strength, but now I'm able to take on the world. Not to be afraid. Now I'm able to go in and be successful. Believe in oneself. Believe in who you could be. Sometimes you have to be like a little child who does not jaded by society and believes in himself. A very famous story. Baruch Levine made it into a song on Touched by a Niggun album. But there was a little boy, Dov Ber. Dov Ber. It was one time walking with his mother home. They turned the corner. They couldn't believe what they saw when they saw up the block of their house. Their house was mamish engulfed in flames, burning down. And they saw everything was lost. And the mother starts crying, bawling. And the little 5-year-old son, Dovera, turns to the mother and says, "It's okay, don't worry, we'll get new clothing, we'll get new things." The mother says, "No, you don't understand. In our house, I'm not crying about the physical things and materialism, and in our house we had a Sefer Yuchsin. And the Sefer Yuchsin went back generations upon generations so that you could know all of the tzaddikim, all the holy people that you come from, and now it's gone." That's why she was crying. And Dov Ber looks at his mother, 5-year-old boy, says, "Don't worry. We're going to start a new Sefer Yuchsin, starting with me." And he grew up in being him, the Maggid of Mezrich, the biggest Talmud of the Baal Shem HaKadosh, the Rebbe of the Baal HaTanya. Because he believed in himself as a little 5-year-old boy. He believed that he could be great. And we have to believe in ourselves, and we have to believe that we could be great. Not like the Meraglim. The Meraglim were flawed in their connection to Eretz Yisrael. They were flawed in how they believed in themselves. And these are the the tools of success and the tools of success throughout the summer. But there were two miraglim that were successful. And we have to analyze each, because those two will give us yesodos for life to be successful in every situation and scenario and throughout this upcoming summer. Kalev and Yeshua. Now Kalev, we all know, there's a famous Rashi. How was Kalev successful, Chevra? Kalev went to Davin. The Pasuk says, Vayalu Banegev. They all went up. Vayavo ad Chevron, Balashin Yachad. And he came to Chevron. It doesn't say Vayavo'ut ad Chevron. It just says, they all went, and he came to Chevron. So what does Rashi say very famously? Kalev levado halachsham. Kalev by himself went there. The rest didn't. Why'd he go? Vinishtateach al kivrei avos. He went to do ishtadchus in Davin by Marzach Pelah. First of all, if you need a good source for Davinim by kivrei tzadikim, here you go, Kalev. Good source to go there to Eretz Yisrael and Davin and Marzach Pelah and go to Hebron. Yidden or Meisen Nefesh to travel throughout the world to go to all the tzaddikim, and I don't belittle that. That's beautiful and wonderful. But the same tzaddikim that's been Rav Shaila and Rav Nachman and all over, ask them the last time they went to daven by Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov and Sarah Rivka and Leah, our avos that we daven every Shemona Esrei with. That's where Kalev went. That's where I go. Not that you can't go to other places also. Don't get me wrong. Those are all kifar kibbutz tzaddikim are chashiv and holy and special. And not, but. But Vada, it starts Marzach Pelah. Starts Kevir Rachel. Someone just was going there to Israel recently. They wanted to daven. They wanted to daven specifically for Leita Kala. The wife, I said, which farm should I go to? Which farm should you go to? Marzach Pelah and Kevir Rachel. That's where you go. And cry your eyes out to the Ebishter. Mishtateach, by the way, also Mishtateach. You know what Mishtateach means? Here's a sort of, Rashi's bringing this down. That's like, Medrash Shabbos, the Gemara and Sota, Nishtateach, Hishtadchus. You know Hishtadchus is, Chavra? Hishtadchus is a very special method. People talk about it by the Kabbalists, the Hasidim, this is Rashi, about color, where you lay your entire body on top of the Kever to connect to the Neshama of the Tzaddik, the Nefesh of the Tzaddik, and Davin in such a way. That's what Kalev did, the Kivri Avos, Nishtateach. I'll tell you a story of Hishtadchus. I have some of you I might have shared this with, but it's Kedai. I'll tell you a personal story I'm connected to. But a Talmud years ago, whose father was very, very sick with cancer. Very sick with cancer. He already had one lung removed. He wasn't a smoker, but had lung cancer, one lung removed. And then he was okay for a while, and then cancer overtook his other lung. And the doctors in Sloan Kettering said there's nothing we could do, and you have a couple months to live. And then there was a doctor in the neighborhood who found this experimental treatment in a cancer center in Pittsburgh, and said if you want, you could try it. It might lengthen your life a little bit. It might not. Chemo itself is very hard. And the family discussed and decided they're going to go through with it. 7 rounds of chemotherapy, experimental treatment. 3-4 rounds in. I remember 3-4 rounds in. I'm in Eretz Yisrael in January. On a Tuesday night, and I'm with Rav Bina speaking in his office late Tuesday night about all the guys. And this Talmud of mine learned in the Tevaria the year before. And he said to Rav Bina, do you know about this man? You know he's very sick. This Talmud's Chaim Gedalia's, how his father. He says, of course I know. And he takes out from his wallet, he shows me a card. All the Chaylim that he davens for, and Yeshua ben Chaya, every tefillah he davens for. And I said, maybe Rebbe can get a bracha from Rebbe David for him. His mom is in a bad place. He looks at me and says, Arya, let me tell you something. This past Sunday night, he went together with Rebbe David on a private jet, and they flew to Egypt. They flew to the kever of the Abir Yaakov. The Abir Yaakov, the grandfather of the Baba Sali, the great-great-grandfather of Rabbi David. And it was his yard site. And they went to the Abir Yaakov's, kever on the yard site, and they davened there. He said, at the kever on Sunday, he gave Rabbi David, this Yeshua ben Chaya, to daven. And Rabbi David did hishtadchus, like this Rashi, hishtadchus by Rabbi David, and davened for him. He said, wow, incredible. I don't think you get better than that. I trust Rabbi. Again, we're not going to sit here for the next 2. I can tell you for the next hour, personal story with Rabbi David. I trust Rabbi David with my life, with my children's life, my wife's life. It's a great, amazing. The week I'm in Israel, the rest of the week, next Sunday, this is Tuesday night, I'm this conversation. Sunday, I get back to America. I call this Talmud of mine to see, how's your father? He says, Rabbi, you don't know. Complete miracles. My father went in for a scan, see if this experimental treatment's doing anything. Only 3 rounds in, whatever it was. They did a scan, all the cancer's gone, nothing, 0. There's no cancer left. He left his home. Like, what do you mean? He's like, miracles. He said, it's a miracle. We've never seen this before. You're good to go. I said, Howie, Chaim Gedalia, tell me, do you remember when that was? What day was that? He thinks about it. Oh yeah, last Sunday. We put it together. It was like mamish minutes, maybe hours after a bit davening for him. By the Abir Yaakov, his father was completely healed from cancer. Ishtarchus. By the Abir Yaakov. So Kalev did Ishtarchus. Ishtarchus by the Avos. And he was Matzliach. So that tells us 2 things. It tells us, first of all, the importance of Tefillah. The importance of our davening. Only Kalev was Matzliach, we find that he davened to be Matzliach. He can't be Matzliach in anything without Tefillah. We're going to have a long summer. And maybe our learning is not going to be as many hours as it was during the year. Although we have to be Koveitim LaTorah, obviously. But our Tefillah, to daven 3 times a day and daven with Kavana, make sure that we're connected to the Rabbanu Shem on our Tefillahs. It's the yisoid of our success. And obviously to be connected to the Tzaddikim. Specifically, to be connected to Tzaddikim, to be connected to Rabbeim, to have people that you're in touch with. That's what Kalev was able to do. And he was Matzliach. Last week, Reb Tzvi Meyer was here. And I had schus to spend some time with him and get a bracha for my wife and a bracha for another yid that needs a big refuah. Yaakov ben Sarah, he's a big refuah. And I got to ask him, I was with him only a few minutes, but I got to ask him one eitzah. I said, Rabbi, give me an eitzah for my Talmidim that they should be Matzliach in the summer. What's one eitzah Rebbe could give me? One eitzah that Rebbe could give me that the Talmidim should be Matzliach in the summer. The summer has its, I said, summer has, Rebbe knows so many challenges. He looks at me, he says, Tefillah, Tefillah, Tefillah. Tefillah. My colleague. Tefillah. You know what? Tefillah keeps us connected to Rebbe Shem. You know, one of the first mishnas in Perkei Avos says, Ashlosha Dvarim Ha'olam Ami. Al Torah, Al Avid, Al Avoyed, Al Avid, Chasad. Torah, learning Torah, Chesed, Ben Al Machavero. What is Avoyed, Aiz Avoyed, Shem Leiv, Zod Tefillah? I always thought about it. We like to categorize things in Yiddishkeit. So you have your mitzvahs, your assays, your los assays. You have your chukim, your mishpatim. You have your Ben Al Machavero, Ben Al Machavero. So shouldn't there be 2 categories? The world stands on Torah and Chesed. What do you need avoda? It's just another way of Ben Al Machavero. What do you need avoda? Tell you what I thought of Chad. And the Maral kind of says an idea like this a little bit, kind of in his Sefer on Pegavus Der Chaim. Torah, you could sit and learn Torah and not connect to Hashem at all. Halavai, in a perfect world, you're supposed to be connected to Hashem through Torah, but so many people learn Torah as an intellectual pursuit. There are non-Jews who study Torah, non-from Jews who study Torah because it's a tremendous intellect, conceptually and analytically. Chesed? Of course, if you're doing it properly, should be connecting you to Hashem and emulating Hashem. But how many people do chesed don't even think about God? There are a lot of kind people out there who are not Jewish and not thinking about the Rabbeinu Shalom. Tefillah, by definition, is a connection to Hashem. If you're not connecting to Hashem in your tefillah, it's a Hebrew reading exercise. Thus, it's not tefillah. So you need tefillah to be the middle of the 3 amudim because it's the core. And then it affects others, and hopefully our chesed should connect to Hashem and our Torah should connect to Hashem as well. But if our tefillah connects to Hashem, at least I'm always connected to Hashem. Don't stop davening this summer. But really davening. Make tefillah your core. Make tefillah your foundation. Like Kalev and you'll be Matzliach. Stay connected to Eretz Yisrael. As we see. Believe in yourself and tefillah, but one last. Because we didn't talk about Yeshua yet. Yeshua was also Matzliach. Yeshua was also Matzliach. There are a lot of different ways to understand the success of Yeshua, but we see that Moshe Rabbeinu davened for Yeshua, only Yeshua. And what does Moshe Rabbeinu do? He adds a letter to his name. He was Hoshea, now he's Yeshua. He adds a Yud. I want to suggest, Lanias Daiti, that's the success. The success of to be successful in challenging situations as a Yid. To be successful when we get into the summer and there are temptations. To be successful when I'm surrounded by influences that are not best for me. Is what? Maybe Lanias Daiti is to always be in a state of growth. Moshe Rabbeinu was saying to Yeshua, I'm going to add to your name. That was a siman of growth. And it was a little drop of adding. It was the smallest letter. Even a little growth. Always be in a state of growth. Always be growing. Don't come into this summer and say to myself, oh, I grew all year. I was in Yeshiva. I was in the Tevari. I was in Shalvim. I was in KBY. I was in Reshit. I was in Mebaseret. I was in Shraga. Wherever I was. I was in YU. I was in Neri Stroll. I was in Leah. I was in wherever it might be. And I had a good year now. I hope, my hope is by the end of the summer, I'm right now X. I hope at the end of the summer I'm also at X. Then you're doomed for failure. No, don't stop growing. The summer is a different type of growth. Okay, it's not the same. Maybe it's not as much time learning. Maybe I'm gonna grow my davening. I'm gonna grow my Ben al Mochvero. I'm gonna grow my ability to live in a challenging situation to be successful and show I could do it. I'm gonna grow. You know, very famous Rashi we've spoken about before. It's when Yosef HaTzadik is born that Yaakov's willing to meet up with Esav again. Esav wants to kill him. Esav wants to destroy him physically, spiritually, in every way. Comes Yosef and Yosef is born. And Rashi tells us that's when we see in the Pesukim, Rashi says it explicitly, because now I could meet up. Yosef is the kryptonite of Esav. Based on a pasuk. Yosef's a little baby. What's he going to do to Esav? He's just born. It's not Yosef physically going to defeat Esav. The Shem Shmuel says so beautifully, Esav is milashon asui, asu. He's a finished product. He felt he was content. That's the worst mentality. Yaakov was afraid that's going to influence his people. I don't want to be content. Yosef means asaf, to gather, to grow, to add. That's the koach keneged Esav, to always be growing. To always be in a state of growth, in whatever way it could be. Have what you're working on this summer. Have what you're growing in this summer. The Mizbeach, which represents our Avodah Hashem, was a ramp. It wasn't steps. Because in steps, Rabbi Yamin Yudin Shlita taught me years ago. On steps, you could be going up, you could be going down, or you could be standing straight on a step. On a ramp, by definition, either you're headed up or you're headed down. There's no standing straight on a ramp. There's no being content. Always be in a state of growth. And even a little yud, even a drop is growing. Always be in a state of growth. I remember years ago, my brother's bar mitzvah, he learned Parshas Yisro. This goes back, I don't know, 25 years ago. My brother's bar mitzvah, and the last pasuk is the pasuk that tells us that the Mizbeach had to be a ramp. And I spoke about this yesod. To always be in a state of growth. And that was Yeshua's success. That little yud I'm adding to you. Yeah, I've said this story before, but I think about this story a lot. It's one time Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, you know, looking around some of the chevers in Shiduchim are going to be in Shiduchim. Maybe we're all going to be in Shiduchim, but going to be in Shiduchim sooner than later, but shut up everybody at the right time. So Chaim Shulevitz, you know, in Shiduchim, you look around, and the Shver is looking for a top guy in the yeshiva, but Chaim Shulevitz wasn't looking for Shiduch. He just looks in. He walked into his uncle's yeshiva, Dov Yaffa, once. And he said to his uncle, tell me, who's the best guy in your yeshiva? And his uncle looks around, he says, you see over there, Moshe, you never saw a male spetira like Moshe. Sits and learns 18 hours a day. You see over there, Aaron, Midos, impeccable Midos. You never have to ask him for anything. He's doing it for you before the test. And you see over there, David, is Tfilos or Mamish Kavano, like Arne'ila is his Tuesday afternoon mincha. So Chai Shalom says, yeah, so which one's the best? Who's the best? He says, the best? Over there, Yaakov. Yaakov wasn't the best. He didn't have the most amelus. He wasn't the best in davening. He wasn't the best in midah. What makes him the best? He says, you know why? He's always growing. He always wants to be more. He has she'ifas. He has yearnings to be more than he is always. He's the best Talmud. Yaakov was Rabbi Yaakov Yisrael Kanievsky, the stifle guy. Because as a young man, as a Talmud in yeshiva, he wanted to always be growing. He always was yearning and wanting and desiring to be more. And he surely believed in himself. And he was surely davening. And he was a Ben Eretz Yisrael. So Mir Tashem, each and every one of us, we walk into this Shabbos. And this Shabbos for a lot of us is like the Shabbos that's going to get us through the summer. A lot of us are starting whatever we're doing this summer. A lot of us are starting this week. The Shabbos, Pasha Shlach, Chet Meraglim, which we're suffering from until today. We still don't have Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Let's learn from it. Let's learn to be in love with Eretz Yisrael every moment, to want to be there, to yearn to be there, and when we can't be there, to think about being there. Because that itself keeps us in the right place. Each and every one of us has to believe in ourselves, believe in our greatness, believe in who we can be, who we are, who we've become. Our tefillos have to be so strong. And make sure that we're growing. And that tzchus will be zoyche to be matzliach this summer. To have a summer of growth, a summer of tefillah, a summer of Yisrael. Shabbat will see all that and say, okay, it's time to bring it all together. We've been metakein chet meraglim through all these sodos. So we don't need b'chiyah shalchinam anymore. We don't need b'chiyah ledoris anymore. And we'll be zoyche to b'nyim b'smigdash v'tegul ha'shleimah v'mashiyah sakeinu v'mhera b'yameinu.